Barbarian Tribes of Rome, The Germanic Religion, Part 3, Megalithic Structures and Other Symbolism. Now, on the basis of certain lines leading in the circles or horseshoe moons, various archaeologists have suggested that we have a pictorial representation of stone or wood cult circles of the same nature as those of Stonehenge and Avonbury. These stone temples in Western Europe are usually interpreted as sun temples, in which sacrifices to the sun god were made at certain specific occasions. There is considerable evidence to support this view, but if the interpretation of the horseshoe half-moon labyrinths as given before is correct, we have here again a confusion of two traditions. Perhaps, after all, the old tradition that the old stone circles in England were Druid temples were not very far off the mark, not only in the sense that the Druids may have used the temples which they already found already constructed and surviving from a former religious practice, but that they may actually have owed their origin to the religious practices of the Druids. This would, to be sure, involve the acceptance of various theses that the people of the Zoned Beaker were the first Celtic-speaking people to enter the British Isles. These Beaker people then would have come into contact in England, if not already on the continent, with a culture basically Mediterranean in respect to origin, and with a preponderance of Mother Earth religious tendencies. In addition to the more often daylight rites of sun worship, it would have also shown some of the darker, more mysterious rites of the great Mother Earth. It is also possible that there is a double significance in the small votive ships that are so common in cult symbols of Scandinavian North. They have been interpreted as sun symbols, as representing the ship in which the sun rides across the ocean. This may also be a secondary attribution. The representation of the ship is also a symbol of the passage of the dead across the river beyond which lies the home of the dead or the Elysian Fields in Greek mythology. Is not this cult in origin ultimately associated with ancestor cult, which is again closely connected to the worship of the Mother Earth? Further, this symbol may have signified originally the female organ of reproduction, just as the double-headed axe symbol of the male. Then, later, there is a mixture and a transference. Perhaps the artisans or artists who made use of these symbols were still aware of their significance, even if the knowledge had become vague in the minds of the great masses of people and had become merely a traditional survival of something which formerly had magic potency. However, they should not be neglected. By carrying a lucky coin or a rabbit's foot, just in case there might be something in the ancient belief. The horse and the deer were sacred to the sun god. The chariot of the sun was drawn by horses. Horses were sacrificed to the sun. Deer horns appear in large numbers in rock drawings, undoubtedly with cult significance. Cattle were sacred animals of the Great Mother, as one would expect them to be, seeing the Great Mother is the origin in agricultural goddess, or rather, having been first the goddess of fertility, she was taken over by the agriculturalists in a suitable divinity. Tacitus gives us some detail of the Nereithis worship of Invernoni of the north. This was a goddess of fertility. Once a year, presumably at the spring festival, the goddess, whose home was on an island, was drawn by cattle in a cult wagon accompanied by a self-scourging priest to bless the land and make it fruitful. After the ceremony was over, the goddess was cleansed in the sea. The slaves performing the ceremony were then put to death, ostensibly to preserve the secrecy of the ritual, but actually a survival of the ritual death of a male consort, the Corn King, the dying and the reviving god. We have here a continuation of an age-old ritual, and this confirms the suspicion that many of these symbols belong not originally to the sun, but to the Great Mother. We also hear in Tacitus of a people in Scandinavia in the north, the Swinoni, who have a queen instead of a king. There's nothing strange about this if we regard it as a survival of the old matriarchal form of society closely associated with the worship of the Great Mother. Perhaps this tribe, owing to isolation, was not affected to the same extent as the others by the patriarchal and sun-worshipping customs of the intruding northern Indo-Europeans. This remark of Tacitus is usually dismissed as being either unintelligible or insignificant. It may be neither. may be an important guidepost to the interpretation of past religious Germanic religious and social usage. The sister's son and uncle, both belonging to a matriarchal system, play an important role in the society described in Beowulf, and it is significant that this mention occurs in the Arcasing poem of the Scandinavian North, where the Nereithis cult of Ingivoni had survived to the time of Tacitus. Tacitus was not merely reporting an idle rumor, but the survival of an ancient custom. So we move a little bit further, and now we start looking at different beliefs that have come down through. But that'll be next time. Again, taking my time on this, because sometimes even I shake my head at what's going on here. Now the source for this, The Germanic People, Their Origin, Expansion, and Culture by Owens, Civilization of the Celts by Launay, Civilization of the Steppes by Conrad. So I hope you enjoyed that. And as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.